There you go.
Am I on now? One, two. Okay. I'm on. Hey, good old Michael Jackson. So before we go into the Michael Jackson thing, so D.L. Moody said this. D.L. Moody was a great evangelist. Hopefully you all know who D.L. Moody is. If you don't, he was an evangelist. So D.L. Moody said this. He says, one day you will hear the words, D.L. Moody is dead. And this is what happened. Tragedy happens, yep. He says, but don't you believe it. He says, I will be more alive than I have ever been. Amen. And for a Christian, I tell you what, that's our hope, isn't it? To be gone from here is to be present with the Lord. And I must say, so look, so my aim, so the call of the gospel is this. Yeah, we get saved, we gave our hearts to Jesus. But, you know, so the Great Commission is this, is not to invite people to church. You might be surprised to that, yeah? Yeah, because it's a churchianity and Christianity that we're a part of. And this is, you know, we all do it, this just in this church. And I'm not picking on this church, don't get me wrong. But the churchianity and the Christianity we're a part of, we do programs, we do everything we can, and then we say, oh, invite them to what? To church, don't we? Invite them along. Invite the sinner, invite your friends to church. The Great Commission, yep, doesn't say that. The Great Commission says, go out and you preach the gospel. Yeah, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, you remember a few months ago I said, you know, my prayer is that this church will grow to 400 people. Some people say, well, we're not there yet. How is that going to happen? I hear the conversations. I say, how's that going to happen? Well, God's going to use you, the congregation, you the people sitting in the chairs there, to do exactly that. And how is that going to happen? By you preaching the gospel and the good news. That's how that's going to happen. Amen? Yep. Because God's going to inspire you, his Holy Spirit, to speak his word boldly to the people that you know. And people will get saved, and then they would want to come to church because they know Jesus. Amen? Amen, because you just want to get more Jesus, don't you? So that's not even my sermon, but I just thought, you know, I'd just add that in. Because that's the aim. is to do exactly that, to motivate you guys. You know, God use you to his fullest potential. Amen. As long as we have breath, amen, as our heart's beating, God wants to use you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, yeah, so Michael Jackson, he did that song, Beat It. Beat it. Remember? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. So, there's a guy named Weird Al Yankovic. Do you guys remember Weird Al Yankovic? Probably not. Probably the guy. You remember? Okay, Weird Al Yankovic. So, I used to sing this song called Eat It to My Children. And it went something like this. It says, why are you always such a fussy young man? Don't want no Captain Crunch, don't want no Raisin Bran. Well, don't you know that other kids are starving in Japan? Just eat it. Just eat it. Ooh! I don't want to argue. I don't want to debate. Don't want to hear about the kinds of food you hate. You won't get no dessert till you clean off your plate. Just eat it. Such a fussy young man. Just eat it. Eat it. Eat it. Eat it. Don't let me repeat it. Have a banana, have a whole bunch. It doesn't matter what you had for lunch. Just eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it. Just eat it, eat it, eat it. Yeah. So Weird Al Yankovic made fun. But what happens if there were Christian words to that? Yeah. The Christian version, I heard this online. I read it out there. It would go something like this. I told that devil, don't you come around here. Don't want to see your face, you better disappear. The Lord is in my heart and he's drawing me near. So beat it, just beat it. Ooh! Run, devil, run, you're going to lose this again. You tempted even Adam, but you didn't win. Because Jesus came to earth and he took all my sin. So beat it, because you're never going to win. Just beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it. How's it feel to be defeated? Knowing that Jesus gave his own life. He died on a cross, a pure sacrifice. Just beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it. Amen? Just beat it. Amen. I do like the Christian version. Amen. The devil's a defeated foe. Sometimes we just got to remind him. You know what I mean? It's nice to know, isn't it? All right, so we're going to do in Romans chapter 5. We're going to talk about Adam, funny enough, so that's why the song kind of like goes coincide to what we're going to be preaching today. So we've got a treat for you this morning. So we're going to talk the five blessings of Romans in the first few verses. And then we're going to go into, after that, the 10 facts about sin. Second point. And then after that, we're going to do 12 contrasts between Adam and Christ, all within 20 minutes. How do you like that? Do you think, wow, can that happen? Man, I believe in miracles. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So here we go. So we read Romans 5 together. It's very short. But I tell you what, it's powerful, a truth in the word here. And, you know, just get more Jesus. We're going to talk about the greatness of Christ. Amen. And we see how great Christ is. We can see, you know, that he is the defeated foe. Let's read. And there's a scripture memory verse. I'll go like that when the scripture memory happens, so you know, oh, that's a good one to memorize, okay? So if I go like that, you think, no, that's okay, so let's go. 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. True. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Now we go into the Adam. Yep. Therefore, just as the one man's sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is the type of him who was yet to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. But if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from the offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who reigned abundance of grace and of gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through the one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many were made righteous. Woo-hoo! That's good. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I tell you what, a lot of good scripture, isn't it? I love it. Romans chapter 5. So here we have the five blessings in Romans. All right? So we have access to God in verse 2a. Yep. You got to remember, so before Jesus died on the cross, there was a veil that separated. Yep. The Holy of Holies. The great being. And this veil was thick. It was huge. Yep. It wasn't like normal, like you just pull the curtains. Our neighbors. Yep. It wasn't like that at all. Yep. Yeah, this veil was a heavy beast, thick. And once a year, the priest would come in to give the offering between God and man. So there's a veil between humanity. But not only that, there was also a wall for the non-Jewish people. Yeah. The Gentiles, that's us. If you're not Jew, you're a Gentile. Yeah. So, and the wall, etched on the wall, were these words, if you go beyond this wall, you're going to die. Not very friendly, is it? I mean, you know, you're not a Jew, you know, you go past this wall, you know, we're going to kill you. Not very inviting, isn't it? But Jesus did this, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, who has destroyed the barrier, the wall, the dividing wall of hostility. Amen. And when Jesus died on the cross, what happened? That veil was torn in two. From top to bottom, that's right. Yeah. It's like God went up and said, nope, no more. No more separation. How good is that, huh? We have access by faith. In Christ, we have a glorious hope, verse 2b, in which we stand. So we have peace with God. He no longer holds our sin against us. Remember we sang that song, didn't we? He no longer holds our sin against us. So, I don't know if I shared this story. There's this one story where the girl, altar call's happening, and she's weeping and crying. And the pastor gives a word to this young lady. Yeah. And as she gives this word, he lays his hand on her, and God's words comes to him. He says, behold, the Lord thy God says unto thee, the Lord thy God says unto thee, there is one sin I hold against you. Behold, there is one sin that I hold against you. It was kind of quiet, just like it is now, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's that one sin? What's that one sin? What did she so bad? You know, she's just crying. She just began to weep. Yeah. And silence, just like this happened. And then the preacher continued. He says, behold, this is a sin I hold against you. Yes, this is the sin I hold against you. I cannot remember your sin. I cannot remember the sin I hold against you. Amen. He can't remember the sin. Amen. We think he remembers. We think, oh God, you remember when I messed up? He's like, no, I don't. It's covered by the blood. You asked to forgive me? He says, it's covered. I've forgotten. What are you doing still harping on it? What are you still going on about it? You are forgiven. I remember them no more. He forgives as far as the east is from the west, which is pretty far. It never meets the east and from the west, just in case you're geographically challenged for those. All right, hallelujah. Is that good? That's good. So we have strength in tribulations, verses 3 to 4. God is working in us to develop our character, to be more like Jesus. Amen. Because he wants us to hear his voice, amen? And he wants to strengthen us. He wants us to abide in him. We are saved from God's condemnation, which once again we sang that song, verses 6 and 11. Romans 8, 7 says, because of the carnal mind, it is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law, nor indeed can it be. So we are at war with God if we're not saved, yep. Yep, the carnal mind, which is the word carnality, it's a good word. I don't know if anybody uses it anymore, except which is when you preach carnality. I never use it when I'm talking to the unsaved. But carnal, the word carnality means it's like the dust of the sand. Yeah, you know, we're just like dirt, sand. That's what carnality is. Yep. And so we are in enmity with God. We're at war with God because of our sin, because of our rebellion, because of our self-righteousness. Yep. Because of our pride, our ego. Forget about the lust of the flesh, lying, and everything else. That's just, you know. The list goes on. We talked about that later, didn't we? But here it states, we are at enmity God. But see, the blood of Jesus says he makes us peace with God. We're no longer at war. The blood says, no, my peace is with you. It's sufficient for you. Ephesians 2, 13, 14. Amen. But now, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. All right. And Romans 5:8, the memory verse? Yep, that was it. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, that while we were yet what? Sinners, Christ died for who? Us. That's right. So look, while we were just ignoring God, doing our own thing, because we wanted to do our own thing, yep, he said, you know, I still love you. He said, I haven't forgotten you. Yep. We're waiting for God. You know, I got to get my act together. I got to get my act together before God accepts me. No, God accepts you just right where you are. Yep. He's not waiting for you to get your act together. You let him be the gathering of your acts because he loves you just the way you are. But he refuses you to leave you that way because he wants you to be just like Jesus. Amen. Amen. For God so loved the world. Whew. So that's just Romans 5:8. I say that's a memory verse because when you're witnessing, that's just a good one to use. Amen. That's part of the Roman road, by the way. Romans 5:8. Praise God. Okay, that was good. So now we're on the 10 facts about sin. That's quick, wasn't it? Romans 5:12. So here's some just quick facts. Yep. I'm not going to reel them all real fast, so if you're taking notes. So this is just a list. So sin came into the world by one man, which is what? Adam. Yep. It was not in the world at the part of creation. So it wasn't God's idea. Yeah. A lot of people like to blame God. It was God's fault. I don't think so. Just read the word. So sin came from outside the world. Point three. Four. Sin caused death to spread to all people. That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? One man's sin. Yep. So the seed of sin is in the man. Yep. So theological. So that's why Jesus was born of a virgin birth. Yep. Okay. So sin is universal in its effects. It was 2,500 years before Moses arrived and gave the law. Sin was already there. It's not imputed without a law and did not come by Moses' law. The penalty came before Moses' law, point 9 and 10. Both sin and death came by Adam's transgressions of Genesis 2:17. Okay, so you go fast 10 points. That's where sin is. It's got a bit of a theology there of sin. So our enemy likes to drag us by the heels, drag us through the mud. Yep, he wants to. The enemy's point is to dull our senses. Yep. If he can dull your senses, the enemy has won. Yep. If he can just make you not care just a little. Yep. Be a little careless. Then the enemy has won. So you got to understand, there's a strategy of hell, yep, against our souls. I read Screwtape Letters. C.S. Lewis wrote this book, Screwtape Letters. And basically it's uncle, yep, is writing to his nephew. He's a demon. And he's talking about him. And his mission is to go ahead and one, get people in hell, keep them unsaved, and to mess with the Christians. This is what C.S. Lewis says, and this is what this little demon says. This is Uncle writing. It doesn't matter how small the sins are, provided that cumulative effort is to edge the man away from the light and out into nothing. Murder is no better than cards if cards can do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is a gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, and without signposts. I was talking to a man. He says, I said, look, where are you going to spend eternity? He says, oh, I don't believe in eternity. I just can't deal with that. I said, well, look, you just don't got a choice. You're going to live forever. Yep, period. I said, where are you going to spend it? That's my question to you. And that's exactly what the enemy tries to do. Yep, tries to mask the truth. Yep. But our job is to go ahead and grab that eternity that God has placed in his heart, or her heart, and start pulling by the love of Christ. You know, I was so encouraged. The man in back knows Arthur Blessett. Arthur Blessett was my childhood hero. Arthur Blessett carried a 12-foot cross all around the world, preached the gospel. He went to heaven. last year to be with God. But every nation. And he talks about the trials and tribulations. I just finished reading his book. Do you know what? He would just preach the love of Jesus. Didn't matter their political state. Didn't matter if they were terrorists. He had pictures with Yasser Arafat. Do you remember who Yasser Arafat is? The PLL, Palestine Liberation Organization. Yep. He went there twice. When Israel went to war again with the PLL, God told him to go. And so he's going to the war-stricken zone. Car bombs are getting blown up in front of him to see Yasser Arafat once again. And Yasser Arafat saw him. He says, I knew you would come. I knew you would come. And he preached the gospel to Yasser Arafat. So, look, this gospel message that we have entrusted into our lives, yep, I'm telling you right now, it is one who pierces the heart. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what they're doing. It doesn't what political stratosphere they're from. It doesn't matter, you know, where they're at, drug addicts, you know, whatever they believe. The love of God confounds the hearts and the minds of men. Amen? So when we do it, we know God is for us, not against us. He is favor. It will go before us when we walk in his will. Amen? Amen. So, now we're doing good. I'm in the 12 contrasts between Adam and Christ. That wasn't too bad, really, was it? All right, here we go. So Adam was head of the old creation, but Christ is head of the new creation. So Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let him have dominion. But Christ said this, the new head of the new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 18, in case you guys are taking notes. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What's the ministry he's given us? Reconciliation. What are we reconciling? We're reconciling those that were dead in sin to alive in Christ. Because what are we? We are what? Alive in Christ, aren't we? We're alive in Jesus. We know God. Hallelujah. Amen. He set us free from our sins. So Adam sinned. Christ did not. 1 Peter 2:22 says, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. So Adam by one sin made many sinners, verse 15 says in our text. But Christ by the act of obedience made many righteous. So you want to look up 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Hebrews 10:10, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. I love that. That means it's available to everyone. So look, I do get it. Sometimes I hear the words, well, not everybody's going to be saved. That really just kind of like wind me up. I know that. Yep. And so that's kind of like the excuse for them not preaching the gospel message and sharing Jesus. Yeah. Well, they're not going to do it. Yeah. But you see, my view is this, is that make heaven full and hell empty. Yep. Let's make heaven full and hell empty. If they, I give people the opportunity to say no to Christ. Yep. If they want to say no, that's their business. Yep. If they don't, my business is to share the love of God, to share the gospel message, to share the good news, and what God has done for me, my testimony. Yep. And the Holy Spirit, funny, the Holy Spirit just grabs that, doesn't he? And he can fix them of their sin, like, oh, I need to get saved, yes. That's what happened to us, isn't it? And he just does again and again and again. Amen. So, Adam was made a living being. Christ was made a life-giving spirit. So 1 Corinthians 14:45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a living spirit. Woo. Adam was of the earth. Christ was the Lord from heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So you think, no, so this kind of blows my mind. Yeah, I can do it. This blows my mind, really. So you think, he was the Lord of heaven. Now, you look, Christmas is coming up fast and it's furious. Yep. That's good. Get your Christmas shopping in. So, but look, he was born. He left heaven to come to earth. So you think the God who knows no time, knows the expanse, he created heavens and earth, came in an earthly baby in no time. Is that unreal? Just that one portion of it all. Yep. Not born in a country mansion. Yep. But born in a lowly manger. Why was he born in a lowly manger? So that all could come to Christ before one. This is, wow. This has got that wow factor, doesn't it? So Adam brought death, which says in our text, but Christ brings life. Amen. The thief does not come to except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they have life and they may have it, what? More abundantly. So not only life, so not even forgiveness of sin releases us from condemnation, but he comes to give us life and life abundantly. That's just amazing, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15:21-22, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all is what? Been made alive. We're alive. You know. So good to be alive, isn't it? Being alive in Jesus. Adam passed a sinful nature to his offspring. Christ. 2 Peter 1:4, by which he's given us to exceedingly great and precious promise, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Romans 5:19. So Adam brought condemnation, but Christ brings justification. Romans 4:25, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our Now look, when the enemy comes in and wants to condemn you, you just put in front of the head. The head ain't listening. Yep. Speak to the elbow because you ain't worth the extension. You need to speak that, yep. When the enemy comes in, look, I'm justified because of who Jesus is, not because of who I am. Because of whose I am. Yep. Yeah, when we pray, we got, you know, sometimes we just get radical in our prayers. I don't know if you're radical. Putting up with that. Yes. No, I'm taking my children back, covering by the blood of Jesus. I'm taking my grandchildren back, covering by the blood of Jesus. That rights. Amen. Better. Bring them before the cross. So, Adam lost the grace or favor of God, but Christ restored grace to men. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace and truth came by what? Our Lord and Savior. So Adam offended God, but Christ pleased God. And Matthew says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well. Amen. So 12. Last point. Adam caused sin to abound, but Christ causes grace to abound. Romans 5:20. The law was brought in so that the trespasses might increase, but sin increased, grace increased all the more. Amen. No, we're praying about it. I wanted to show you because sometimes look, the enemy comes. Forget about. This week, children, yet. You gotta remember, we can remember, oh yeah, that's right, Romans chapter 5. I'm not subject to that. But my heart is done. Does that make sense? So listen, saints, this is what we got to do. So
Jay John, who's he's an evangelist here in England. He says, grace does not say sin doesn't matter. Grace says sin doesn't have to be it. Grace says sin doesn't have to be the end of your story. So look, folks, look. Sometimes you see testimonies where people are drug addicts, they get freed, and they're glorious freed. They never take drugs again. Yep. You know what I'm saying? And yet another person gets saved, but they struggle with that. Yep. They struggle with their addiction. They struggle with it. They go back to it. They struggle with it. They go back to it. They struggle with it. They go back to it. Same gospel, same grace, same Savior. So why? Why? I'm saying because there's other just deadly addictions than that. But it's true, isn't it? Never gone back. Alcoholics. Yep, I've never gone back. So look, my one personal testimony is, you know, I got drunk once in 1981. Yep. Never again. Can be stupid without drink. So, I think I shared it off with pretty good this in the beginning of the sermon. Yep. You know, I got the foot and mouth disease. Don't need drink to help me. Yeah, but I don't. But look, so, but grace says sin doesn't have to be the end of your story. So, in the struggles, God says, it's not the end of your story. It's my grace. My grace is what's sufficient for you. And it's in the struggles, when we take these struggles, because sometimes he does let us struggle. Yep. And it's in these struggles, we lay things at the cross, we lay them down again, we lay them down again, and what is it? We're building a habit of saying, God, you are my Savior, you are my grace, I trust in you. Yep. And what's happened is God's doing things in our lives that we don't know. And the enemy just wants us to give up. And he says, no, my grace is sufficient for you, because grace says it's not the end. Yep. Where your battles isn't the end, grace is. So grab a hold of that. Amen? Amen. And this is the Christian welcome. We are not welcome because we are worthy. We are welcome because God is gracious. Amen? We are not welcome because we are worthy. We are welcome because God is gracious. So true. You know, there's some, look, so even in churches, and this is where we need to, people get hurt in church. You ever been hurt in church? Yeah. I got saved in 1981. Look, I've been hurt many, many a times. Yep. Y'all been hurt. If you've been saved a little while, you'll get hurt again. That's a promise. Yep. Because people are people. You're like, oh, man. Oh, I'm going to get hurt again. Yeah, you're going to get hurt. Bit of drag, but it's true. Yep. But it's grace is the welcoming. Gracious. And there's people that come through these doors, and they're going to have their hurts. They're going to be walking in trepidation. Yep. Leading to Christ, and they're kind of like, you know what? But I'll tell you what, it's your love and your gracious. I just hold in person and say, don't worry, it's going to be all right. God's here to heal. God's here to hold you back. Yep. Put you together. You're not alone. And those words alone, like, really, I'm not alone? No, you're not alone. No. You don't have to walk alone. And that's what I mean by just being gracious. And I'm telling you this because it's going to happen. And when you do that, when you touch people by the love of Jesus in your heart, yeah, you bridge the gap. Not in this church, but other churches that I visit, other places. The heartbeat of God. Romans 5 is nothing but the heartbeat of God. Let's bow our head. Let's close our eyes. Move to the singers. Come on up. Amen. Pray. God, I just pray right now that you just fill your people. God Almighty, Lord God, this world, we said we were going to get dirty. God, you came to wash our feet. Say, oh, we're going to get dirty. We are in the world. So God, I just pray right now for this congregation that you love so much, that God, they would just come to know you more and more, that God, you would just set their hearts a flame of fire for that enemy, that devil is a liar and a stealer and a thief. God, we just finalize the enemy right now by the blood of Jesus Christ. The opposition that comes against this congregation, we just command you to go by the blood of Jesus. For God, we claim this town, we claim this village, the surrounding villages by the blood of Jesus Christ. God, just like Arthur Blessed carried the physical cross, that God, we could carry our cross in our hearts and proclaim your good news to the dying. That needs to hear. While we yet sinners, Christ died. And God Almighty, if someone's not saved from this, sweet spirit of conviction is coming down. Draw them. Thank you, Lord God, by faith, and God Almighty, the transformation that's going to be taking place now. All God's saying said, amen.